an hour in 2018, and Target has raised its minimum wage to $15 last year. Walmart announced it's going to raise its minimum wage to $13 an hour. The House is planning to vote on Friday on President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package. And while it has enough support to pass the House, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kristen Sinema of Arizona have threatened to oppose the stimulus package over the provision to raise the minimum wage. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest News Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
Fast food giants McDonald's and Yum! Brands are signing on with plant-based food supplier Beyond Meat. The company will supply the patty for the McPlant burger, which is being tested in select markets. Beyond Meat is also working with Yum! Brands to make exclusive items for their KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut restaurants. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
It's dry night tonight, followed by a partly cloudy to mostly sunny afternoon Friday. Once again, there's a chance of that overnight patches of fog that might be dense. 50s. Friday afternoon goes to a high of lower 70s. Chance of showers coming in Friday night, Saturday, with a cool front coming down. Highs of lower 70s. Cooler with clearing Saturday night drops to the 50s. A cooler Sunday, some clouds come back. Late day scattered showers, the highs of the 60s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
A single car accident victim can require as many as 100 pints of blood. That's why the American Red Cross needs you to donate blood today. Make an appointment or find the nearest blood drive by visiting www.redcross.org. The American Red Cross needs you to donate blood today. Make an appointment or find the nearest blood drive by visiting www.redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I got something to say.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now, here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com, the new WGSO.com, I might add. So if you haven't been there, check it out. Find out all about our new not-for-profit status and our 75 for 75 campaign and how you can get involved. And believe it or not, folks, Mike Hinson is with us tonight.
Yes, I am.
Long week?
Yes. I feel like it's been about 6 weeks since I've done the show. Oh, my goodness. The last few weeks have been very weird. I, to be honest, I didn't even realize it was Friday today. That's how weird the last 2 weeks have been.
Wow. That is weird.
Because normally I'm all excited for Friday. Everybody is.
I know. And normally you have a drink in hand during the show.
Yeah, I didn't even when. Now, granted that I did. I worked from home today, and so I never had a chance to go anywhere. And normally on Fridays I'll stop off on the way home from work, and I work from home, so there was no way home from work. So I guess I'll have to go when we're done.
Oh, first world problems, sir. First world problems.
Really, yeah.
So I was reading something today, and again, I think maybe we just make a Friday segment, Mike's UFO segment.
Yeah, I like it.
So
it sounds good.
There was more news, and this came out yesterday. Let's see here. Who's this according to? According to Complex, I don't know what that is, but the article says FBI says it is aware of UFO sighting reported by American Airlines pilot, and I even have some music for you. And that's just for you.
Thank you.
I should play it in the background while we talk about this. So I'll let everybody know about the article, and then we can discuss this. So according to this report, during a flight from Cincinnati to Phoenix, an American Airlines pilot reported seeing a long cylinder. I haven't even been drinking or anything. It was a cylinder-type object. How about that? Soaring over New Mexico, a spokesperson for the FBI said the department is aware of the sighting but declined to say whether agents were investigating the matter. The FBI is aware of the reported incident. While our policy is to neither confirm nor deny investigations, the FBI works continuously with our federal, state, local, and tribal partners to share intelligence and protect the public. Anyone who is aware of suspicious or criminal activity should contact their local law enforcement agency or the FBI. So this happened actually during the day around 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. A pilot on flight 2292 radioed Albuquerque's Air Route Traffic Control Center, claiming to have seen a UFO that almost looked like a cruise missile. CBS News obtained a recording of the transmission in which the pilot seemed somewhat hesitant to describe what he saw. And he asked, "Do you have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us," the pilot said in the recording, which was authenticated by American Airlines. "I hate to say this, but it looked like a long cylinder-type object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of a thing, moving really fast right over the top of us." And a representative from the Pentagon said the military wasn't conducting any aircraft tests in the area that day. The Federal Aviation Administration told CBS News that they were also aware of the report, but said its air traffic controllers didn't see any objects in the area or on their radar scopes. So what's your take on that, Mike?
Well, they are in an area where Boeing and Lockheed Martin and all that have been known for years to test new planes, you know, new thing. Like back in the day, back in the 80s, I guess it was, there were a whole lot of reports of triangular shaped UFOs in Nevada, in that general vicinity. Well, a few years later, it just so happens that's when the stealth bomber came out, and it's triangular shaped. And so my first thought was, well, maybe, you know, Skunk Works, which is Lockheed Martin's top secret thing, maybe they're working on something and we just don't know what it is yet. But at the same time, this is the first thing that I've seen about a cylindrical object. Mm-hmm. I mean, a while back you were seeing reports about that kind of stuff, but nothing like this, nothing where a pilot who's trained to see stuff in the skies sees something like that, and then the FBI makes a comment on it. You know, I've watched all my crazy conspiracy theory shows where they're always talking about, there's this cigar-shaped object in the sky. I don't know, maybe, but that's been going on for a while. So if that was something back then, anyway, if that was something that they were working on at Lockheed Martin, we'd have probably seen it by now, I guess. I'm not exactly an aviation expert, so I don't know how long it takes to create something like that, but...
I don't either. So, you know, yeah, you're right. That's not the first time that we have that I've read articles about that type of object being spotted, and all by credible sources. So I don't know. Maybe it's time. Truthfully, I don't know why they would want to come here and hang out with what they're seeing on this planet. I wouldn't.
I'm looking to get off of the planet.
Right. So I don't know why they would want to come here. But at the same time, to be fair, you know, we all have to go shopping at that one big box store that we don't like to shop at, and I won't I won't say their name. But you know, so maybe they have to, if there are aliens, maybe it's, you know, that's their mission, and unfortunately they have to complete said mission, check out what idiotic things that we're up to.
they and the other alien captain had to flip a coin and see who got the good mission and who got to come to Earth. Unfortunately, these guys lost. So
yeah, isn't that the way it always goes?
Really, those aliens basically have the alien version of my life.
Well, it could have been worse. When I left here Friday night, a bird pooped on my head. So you know.
Oh well, that's fun. Well, see, and that's why we always wear hats.
Well, you know, in that time, I wasn't wearing a hat, and I was glad I wasn't because I wouldn't want to ruin one of my hats. So.
Oh, well, that's true. You got a point. But yeah, I'd rather wash my hair. I'm going to wash my hair regardless. So.
And I didn't know that that's a sign of good luck. I never knew that.
I'm not sure how it would be, but okay.
That's what I said, too. I thought it was embarrassing and awful, but apparently it's a sign of good luck. So,
is it good luck if you had your window rolled down and a bird pooped inside of the car on the edge of the seat? Because that did happen to me at some point over the week.
probably. I'm assuming that it is. Maybe not full-on good luck, but, you know, like... You know, you might find a quarter or something on the ground, you know, something along those lines. Not like go buy a lottery ticket type luck, but probably, or maybe, you know, you get an extra cheeseburger when you go through the drive thru or something. I don't know. Probably that kind of luck. So,
That sounds good to me. I can deal with that.
Right. All right. Well, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about some Major League Baseball and there's still, you know, those rumors are still flying about Russell Wilson. So we're going to have to, and we talked a little bit about it last night, but I wanted to get your take on the situation. So we'll take a little break here, and we'll be back with more right after this.
More and more Americans are listening on American ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
Hi, I'm William Wallace. You can hear me live on Tuesday nights at 5 o'clock here on WGSO or see what I have to say on Facebook at William Wallace for America.
Brought to you by the St. Rock Market, a local food hall featuring 12 unique food and beverage entrepreneurs serving globally inspired meals from barbecue platters to Mediterranean cuisine. Located at 2381 St. Claude Avenue, the St. Rock Market is open every day of the week for breakfast, lunch, dinner, coffee, and cocktails. We offer online ordering, curbside pickup, and both indoor and patio dining. Learn more at strockmarket.com.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
It's America's entertainment pop culture talk show, and it's here on WGSO 990 AM. Hi, this is Douglas Viviani. Join us for Everything Old is New Again every Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock right here on WGSO 990 AM.
American Ground Radio is headed to New Orleans, the Big Easy, the Crescent City, the birthplace of jazz, New Orleans, y'all. Every day, more and more Americans are listening on American Ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr on 990 AM WGSO and streaming live at WGSO.com. This should be fun.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
I've seen what you call progress. Every warning sign ignored. And there's a muffled voice of reason, but we can't make out the words. And though the balance we struck was delicate, there was a sense of right and wrong. We tried to stem this flow with the tourniquet, but now the patience's dead and gone. When we
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. And now that we got our UFO talk out of the way, we can talk about sports. So I was going through, I saw something earlier this week about the top remaining free agents that are still out there and how they could help. And so I thought about the Astros because I thought about the Cardinals, but I'm going to be honest, Cardinals aren't going to spend any more money. They've already, they did what they had to do, and they don't, they're just not going to spend any money. So it doesn't really matter who's left. They're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how this could impact the Astros, because after looking, I just, it's what took me so long to get back from break, but I was looking at the signings that the Astros did over the winter, and they didn't do much. Didn't do much. Matter of fact, they lost more than they gained, I truly believe.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They picked up Pedro Baez, the reliever from the Dodgers, and catcher Jason Castro from the Padres. Steve Cishek, which I think he was with the Astros before. He's the sidearm pitcher. He was with them before, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. That name sounds familiar.
He was with the Cardinals at one point, too. But he was with the White Sox last year. And then they picked up another reliever, Ryan Stanek from Miami, and reliever Chris Devoninsky. He left and went to Arizona. They lost Chase DeYoung, which I don't think he signed a minor league deal with Pittsburgh. Yeah. And then they picked up Jose Siri from the Giants. So not a whole lot of stuff going on in the winter. Pretty quiet, you know, from the Astros, because in the last few years they've had no problems making some moves and spending some money.
Yeah, I think they're kind of hoping and praying that their farm system is going to help them out. They've got a number of guys that have been trying to come up, but it hasn't really been their time. There was somebody already on the team that was good enough that they couldn't replace them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think they're hoping that, you know, you see what happened with old Jordan Alvarez, you know, and mm-hmm. they got I'm going blank on the names off the top of my head. But you got a number of guys that they've been trying to bring in for a few years. A number of them have played in a few games. There just wasn't really a spot on the team for them. Mm-hmm. Now that the team from that era is kind of breaking up a little bit, I think they're hoping that they're going to be able to now bring some of those guys up from the minors. And, you know, they have enough experience now that they can take over for the people who have left.
Well, according to what I was reading, the top 10 free agents that could make an impact are the best players available still. And the number one actually is predicted to go to the Astros.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
I haven't, to be honest. I mean, I've been watching MLB Network every morning when I have my glass of water and banana for breakfast. Very exciting stuff, mind you. But Jackie Bradley Jr., center fielder, had been with the Red Sox, and he hit .283 last year, and which was one of the better offensive years of his career, and he's a great defender. So the prediction is that he signs a 2-year, $20 million deal with the Astros. I would assume the Astros have that kind of money that they could do that.
Yeah, most likely. And then you don't really have a center fielder. I mean, you've got people that can play center field, but most of them are either left. Most of the people that are left in the outfield are either left or right fielders. You know, that's their main thing. So I can see wanting to sign a center fielder who will be able to come in and at least make a difference defensively.
Right.
You know, he's pretty good offensively as well, but you know, the defense is where they really need somebody at the moment. And so I think that would be a fairly good pickup.
Definitely. Some of the other ones, I mean, the next biggest name, I think, even though he's kind of ranked low on the list, is Jake Odorizzi. And he was 15-7 in 2019 with a 3.5 ERA. They're predicting that he goes to the Phillies, but I don't know. The Cardinals have been talked about with it, with being attached to him, but I just don't see it right now. They're the money that he's going to want, they're just not going to want to spend. And some of these guys that, like Trevor Cahill, they're predicting him to sign with the Mariners on a 1-year deal, but he was good, but that was 4 or 5 years ago as a reliever for the Cubs. I think he was on their team when they won the World Series. And then you got Mikel Franco. Again, there's somebody else that really hasn't been doing much for the last – he was the number 17 prospect back in 2014, but I don't really think he's done much since. And then Shane Green, who was a good – he was an all-star in 2019 – but they're looking at him to go back to the Braves. And then Jed Jerko, who a great platoon player. He did well when he played with the Cards, but they're predicting that he goes to the Mariners on a 1-year deal. And then Brad Peacock, former Stro, predicting that he's going to go on a 1-year, $1 million deal to the Royals. So I don't know. Some of these guys I just don't agree with. You have Rick Porcello. And predicted him to go to the Angels, and the one that really I just don't see. I mean, he'll get a minor league deal with somebody, I'm sure, but Yasiel Puig, for as much talent as he had, I mean, I shouldn't say had. He probably has. It's just the execution of what he does. It's just not enough to overcome the way he acts in the clubhouse, and his production doesn't, not that you would want anybody to be a disruption, but when you're not producing, it's definitely not worth it. So I just don't see it. Unless a lot of people get hurt, I just don't see it.
If Mike Trout was acting like that, you don't want to see him acting that way, but he's Mike Trout. He's the number one player in all of baseball.
Right.
So whatever, but Yasiel Puig had one good year, and then after that, he's been pedestrian.
Yeah, it's just too much to deal with. The last person on the list was reliever Dave Robertson, which, to be honest with you, I didn't even know was still playing baseball. I really didn't. Baseball historian Bill James had David Robertson ranked at number 94 on his list of the 100 greatest relief pitchers in baseball history following the 2017 season. So there you go. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more.
Over the last 75 years, New Orleans has gone through many changes, and so has WGSO. From our early beginnings in 1946, broadcasting from the Jung Hotel, being home to Papa Stappa in the 1950s, being a music station, talking biz radio to speakeasy New Orleans style, you, our loyal listeners, have been here every step of the way with WGSO.
It's now our 75th anniversary, and we are so proud to have you here with us to celebrate. So we're going to celebrate all year long to show our gratitude to you and make 2021 our most successful year yet. And we will also continue to bring programs that appeal to people of all backgrounds. So from all of us at WGSO, we want to say thank you for making us the community voice of the Crescent City.
It's Jeff Cruer, host of Ringside Politics. I'd like to introduce WGSO General Manager Mary Ann Guzman.
WGSO is locally owned and operated right here in New Orleans. We believe in cultivating local talent and emphasize local programs. If you have an interest in hosting your own program, then we have some prime spots available.
Thanks, Mary Ann. Folks, take advantage of this great offer. Email me at jeff@wgso.com or call me at 504-669-6076. Come fulfill your radio dreams at WGSO.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Matt Doyle. The governor's proposed $400 teacher pay raise and $200 support staff pay raise will cost the state an estimated $40 million extra per year. Commissioner of Administration Jay Darden says they would like to do more, but extra funds were limited this year.
It's modest relative to the last increase it was given, but it gets us closer and closer to where we want to be in terms of fighting with the Southern average.
The pay raise is included in the governor's budget proposal and will be debated in the April legislative session. And last week's winter storms delayed and disrupted blood supply to Louisiana hospitals. Now healthcare officials are imploring Louisianans to take a trip to a local blood bank to help out. Governor Edwards asked if you have a regularly scheduled donation appointment, see if you're able to move it up to today or this weekend.
A lot of people donate on a regular basis, and maybe they can just go ahead and speed that up and donate again now. And it is safe. There's nothing dangerous about giving blood right now.
And that's news for the Louisiana Radio Network.com.
Do you love word games? Then play word games from the lottery. Win up to $30,000. That's $30,000. Visit any lottery retailer and ask for word games today. And check this out. $8,000. That's what you could win playing corner payout from the lottery. $8,000. So stop at any lottery retailer and pick up Corner Payout and Word Games today for your chance to win. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
I'm Jim Harper, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Whether you live in New Orleans or New Roads, Cheneyville, or Lake Charles, agriculture makes a big difference in your daily life. That's why the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation is here to protect our precious food supply chain at the local, state, and national levels. Become a part of our grassroots network.
Visit lafarmbureau.org to join today. The Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Join Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney from America Tonight. The show kicks on at midnight, and I'm loving the overwhelming support in New Orleans. What a group of fantastic listeners here on WGSO 990 AM. Join me every morning to catch up on what I call the buzz in your backyard and mine. You'll hear some of the most interesting people on the planet from the world of business, politics, sports, and, well, just intriguing people with a story to tell. If you're around, give us a call. Don't worry, I'll spit out the number plenty of times on the air. Let's agree to meet at midnight right here on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans.
Sir Speedy can help with signs, labels, packaging, menus, and other printed communications to help your employees and customers feel safe. We design, print, install, or drop off everything you need, and even provide online ordering through our website, send a file, or request quote options. Visit us at SirSpeedyNewOrleans.com or call us at 504-586-9812.
Welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. So we talked some baseball, so we might as well continue to talk about the big rumor, especially in New Orleans, of Russell Wilson being traded to the Saints. I don't know. I would love to see it. I don't know if I'm sold on it. I don't think. I just, like I was saying last night, I don't think it's about how much money he makes, because we all know that Mickey Loomis gets very creative and there's ways around that. But for what we have to give up, it's going to be a minimum of two first round picks, I would say. And then plus you're probably going to have to give up a good player, more than likely on the defensive side. Because I know, like, there was rumor, like people throwing Michael Thomas's name out there. Michael Thomas isn't going anywhere. Let's just get real.
No.
And especially, why would the Seahawks want Michael Thomas in return for Russell Wilson when you wouldn't be able to pair them together? So then you need a quarterback. So why would you want Michael Thomas? I mean, I would say, of course, everybody would love to have Michael Thomas. He's a great player. But as far as making a trade, I just don't see that being the option. I would feel like they need to build their defense, especially with some of the breakdowns that they had from the midpoint of the season on. But I just find it interesting, and I've found a few things, and this actually came from I was reading an article from Seattle, and. It's the things that we've talked about, that why he is upset. And he hasn't said that he's made it clear he has not demanded a trade or anything like that, which he's a good guy and he's a nice guy. And I think it's a lot of CYA at this point, because you wouldn't put out a list of places you're willing to go if you weren't wanting to be traded.
Mm-hmm. Part of me thinks that this is, I guess the biggest part of me, and now this isn't saying he's not going to request a trade at any point, but the biggest part of me says that this is all just the sports media that focuses on football not having anything to talk about. And so they're going to harp on this day and night until it either does or does not happen. Then as soon as it does or does not happen, they're going to move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
We're kind of in that dead zone. We hadn't gotten to March 17th yet with the we can start free agency opens up. We're not at the draft. There's nothing to discuss. And talking about this is a lot more interesting than, I wonder where this guy is going to, I wonder who this guy's going to get drafted by, because everybody does that every year. So this gives them something to do, and it puts eyeballs on their website or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to hype this up as much as they can.
Yeah. The only thing that I really found interesting out of this was that they actually have an account from this past season, according to this website. And I don't know who, it doesn't say who was quoted on, I'm assuming it's anonymous. But the quote is that before the Thursday night game against Arizona, Wilson met with his coaches for some time. Wilson has sought and even pushed for influence within the organization regarding scheme and personnel. In the meeting, he outlined his own ideas for how to fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed, and multiple sources told The Athletic another reminder to Wilson that the Seahawks did not see him the same way he saw himself, as a player who had earned greater control over his situation, his future, and his legacy, and he stormed out of the room. Now, whether or not that's true, who knows?
Yeah.
I believe there's probably a little bit of truth. There's at least a little truth to it, or else Wilson, when he went on, was a Dan Patrick show. I think that's where this all really started.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have said the things he said on that show if there wasn't a little merit behind what's going on. And if this is true, I don't blame Russell Wilson. I don't blame him.
Yeah,
at all.
I don't either.
Because if he's, he's getting paid to be the franchise quarterback. Let's not make any mistakes about it. But for a guy like him, he's very similar to Drew Brees. It's not 100% about the money. It's about winning, and he wants to have that culture. And why he should, for all all intents and purposes, he should have a say in the scheme. What, you know, that's what made the Saints offense so great for the last, 16 years, is because Coach Payton and Drew Brees worked together. It wasn't, you know, I'm the coach, you're the player, just do as I say. You know, they work together on schemes and what will, you know, what should work. And if anybody doesn't think that Drew Brees has had say in what the personnel of that offense is, you're sadly mistaken.
Yeah, well, you have to – yeah, I mean, you're the coach. You're the one that says, hey, this is the play we're going to run. But in practice throughout the week, you have to know these are the plays that your quarterback is most comfortable with running. So that way, once you get into this situation, you know I can call play B and it'll work because he's not as comfortable with play A. And you have to know that. You have to work with him. You have to allow the quarterback to have a say in how things go in order for you to know that.
Well, and let's just put it on a normal scale. If you work, and I'm sure you have, and so have I, if you've worked for a company who there's issues, and if you went to the boss and said that, you know, here's some, you know, could we do this, you know, to try to make things better, and they just blew you off and told you that, you know, essentially I'm the boss and you're not, go do your job, though, that's not building that rapport and that relationship that's going to make you want to stick around in that organization.
So I can think of something right off the top of my head where basically that exact same thing happened. So yeah, I know what you're saying, and believe me, I know how Russell Wilson feels because of it. And his job is a lot bigger than what mine was at the time. I can promise you that. So
yeah, and you know, so to that regard, I do. If this is what's truly happening, and let's be honest, you and I both agree that Pete Carroll is no offensive genius. Let's just go reference the Super Bowl when they could have won back-to-back Super Bowls. But when you have beast mode in the backfield and you're on the half, I think it was probably like the half-inch line, and you decide to throw the ball instead of just give him the ball and let him plow his way in, and you had two tries to do it in, mind you. So let's not pretend that Pete Carroll is some offensive genius, because he's not. I'll give Pete Carroll credit, and that's hard for me to do because I'm not a big Pete Carroll fan. But I guess if you want to give him some credit, he usually typically has great rapport with his team, with his players.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like that's what's going down right now with Russell Wilson, which is shocking. But an offensive mastermind, he's not.
And I know I've told you this before. I don't know if I've ever said it on air. I have not liked Pete Carroll since he was at USC. Mm-hmm. When he was at University of Southern California, I did not like him then. There was just – and I don't follow unless you're talking LSU or the SEC, I don't really follow college football as much as I follow NFL. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really know why, but there was just something that about him that got under my skin.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It just and even, you know, when Seattle had those great teams, was it the offense that stood out to you when they won a Super Bowl and when they were winning the NFC? No, it wasn't.
Mm-mm.
It was the defense. It was the Legion of Boom. And I don't really believe Pete Carroll had a whole lot to do with that. The credit, if you want to give him credit, it's because he hired the right people to be put in place to coach that team, coach that defense, and scheme that defense. I don't believe Pete Carroll was doing that. But to piss off somebody like Russell Wilson, who I truly believe is one of the best guys, best people in football, it must have crossed a line somewhere. And granted, I believe Russell Wilson is doing the right thing, and he's publicly saying he hasn't demanded a trade. He hasn't asked for a trade because he's not stupid. I mean, let's get real. If he doesn't get traded, what kind of position is he in Seattle?
Yeah. Well, yeah, boy, it's going to be hard to go back for that next contract.
Right. Well, hell, it'd be hard even to go out on the field next year whenever I would assume there'll be people in the stands and they know that you did, that you wanted to be traded, but you didn't get traded. Just ask Anthony Davis how that goes.
Yeah, really. That doesn't work out very well.
No. So, I mean, he's he's CYA in this whole situation, but it doesn't make sense that he didn't ask for a trade, but yet here's the four places I would waive my my non-trade
if
clause.
If
I were to ever get traded, this is where I want to go. And the four teams being the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Bears, and the Saints, I mean, truthfully, and not just because we're hootats, but the Saints would make the most sense as far as from Russell Wilson's perspective, I would assume.
Yes.
It's a team that's
the team that's prepared for him.
Right. A team that's ready to go. You just basically Drew Brees hands you some keys and you get in the Ferrari and it's off we go. Mm-hmm. You have a good defense. You have an offensive minded coach. And with Russell, you go back to those days of throwing the ball all over the field, and God only knows what Coach Payton would come up with.
It would be fun to watch.
It really would be. It would be. And, you know, we have a great offensive line, and that's the other thing. You know, he's 32 years old, and that's part of it, too. Part of the rumors is that it's been he's upset because they've only drafted one offensive lineman the whole time he's been there. And the other thing is that they're wanting to be so run heavy, and they really don't have that great a running back. So that is even more mind blowing because they're running back by committee. So the whole thing just it doesn't make sense. The only thing that truly does make sense is that he would want to leave.
Yes.
If you boil it down, that's the only thing out of the whole situation that makes sense is that he doesn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and nobody wants to be somewhere where you don't feel appreciated.
Absolutely. And that goes for anywhere that you work. Actually, it doesn't even matter if it's work or not. Any situation, you want to be somewhere where you're appreciated. Any relationship.
Yeah. It's why you're friends with the people you're friends with. It's why you work. One of the reasons you work where you work. Mm-hmm. And it's why pretty much any situation, you want to feel appreciated.
Right. And so we'll see. I don't know. If it happens, it'll happen in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, have to.
Yeah, because they won't go past. It won't go past free agency, and it certainly wouldn't go past the draft. So I don't know. I have a sneaking suspicion there's a little more truth to this than meets the eye.
Yeah.
Even though there's, some of the Seahawks have said, he's not going anywhere. Well, no, you don't want him to go anywhere because he's, he's a Hall of Fame type quarterback. So, no, you don't. But at the end of the day, Russell Wilson has to do what's best for Russell Wilson and not worry about it. I mean, he can't waste the latter part of his career. So, all right, that's my soapbox. I'll get off of it. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the week with some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. You're listening to Something to Say Radio Show on WGSO 990 AM.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
WGSO 990 AM is the only locally owned and operated talk station in New Orleans. We feature 20 local hosts discussing a variety of topics. In an era when the daily newspaper is being discontinued and our competitors are out-of-state media conglomerates, we ask you, our listeners, to support local programming on a local station. To advertise or sponsor one of our great shows, contact me at jeff@wgso.com or call 504-669-6077. 76.
Your attitude toward the Bible is your attitude toward Christ. In other words, if you say, I delight in the Lord, and you never open this book, you're just fooling yourself. Because where do you learn about the Lord? You learn about him in this book, don't you?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Making Sense of It All, next time on Turning Point.
Tom Fitzmorris here with the Edible Dictionary Word of the Day, brought to you by Dornex, just voted one of the Food and Wine Magazine's top 20 regional supermarkets of all time. Today's Edible Dictionary Word is
gin. Gin is a colorless, usually, distilled spirit made from grain, flavored with juniper berries and other flavoring agents called botanicals, and distilled a second time. Botanicals, whose flavors come through in a good gin, are anise and citrus peel, as well as the resiny quality of the juniper. The botanicals also create a sensation of astringency or dryness. The ancestor of gin was created in the Netherlands, where it was called genever. The Dutch word for juniper, gin, is an English contraction of that name. The Brits changed a few other things about the drink, using wheat instead of barley and refraining from aging the spirit. The London style of gin dominates the category now. Gin is the essential ingredient for a classic martini.
What's your plan for tomorrow? Are you a leader or will you follow? Are you a fighter or will you cower? It's our time to take back the power. What's your plan?
All right, we're back with more of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. And it is that time of the week again. Time to wrap up the show, time to wrap up the week. And it's time for some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. So, Mike, yeah. we've got about 7.5 minutes. So you want to kick us off?
All right. Well, first, I did find two that were the title of the articles were good, and such the article itself wasn't. But I just read those real quick because they're funny. Chinese professor: there were no ancient Western civilizations, just modern fakes made to demean China. I thought that one was kind of funny.
I saw that too.
And then this one, I thought this one was really good until I read the article. I was like, okay, that actually makes sense. Ex-bodyguard says Michael Jackson often wore a face mask because he predicted coronavirus. Thought that one was kind of good. And now, for the one that I'm actually going to read.
Okay.
False COVID-19 information convinces mom and four kids to drink urine for 4 days.
Nice.
Westminster, United Kingdom.
Not Florida?
A mother trying to protect herself and her family from the novel coronavirus ended up being duped by false information that led her to drink her own urine. For 4 days, the British woman and her four children gulped down their own urine, believing it would protect them from COVID-19, according to a report by the City of Westminster. Urine is a waste product of the body. Its consumption is generally frowned upon in Western medicine, westernized medicine, and pretty much the entire rest of the world, if I had to guess. Urine contains high concentrations of toxins and salt that the body has already rid itself of. Once outside of the body, urine quickly attracts more bacteria. Consuming it can harm a person. The British woman told officials she was convinced to drink her pee by a trusted friend or relative who had served as the mom's primary source of pandemic-related news. Well, now you know. The mother said she put her faith in natural cures. Even so, the medical community hasn't yet recognized anything as a cure for COVID-19. To date, vaccines are the only things clinically proven to prevent COVID-19 illness, but the mom cited a debunked conspiracy theory involving Bill and Melinda Gates when voicing her distrust of vaccines. Misinformation has proven to be a detriment to public health throughout the pandemic. Aside from drinking urine, many so-called cures or preventative measures have proven futile. One of the most notable false cures made headlines last spring when former President Donald Trump mused aloud about ingesting bleach to combat the virus. This prompted fierce backlash from health officials, political rivals, and bleach manufacturers, but their effort fell short. Just days later, officials began reporting cases of people drinking cleaning products in an attempt to protect themselves from the coronavirus.
Oh boy! Well, I'm glad that you. I'm glad that you went there with a conspiracy theorist, because I have one to follow that up. I see your conspiracy theory, and I raise you a conspiracy theory. So this one is according to Yahoo News, and it's titled "Fake Snow Conspiracy Theory Claims Texas Weather Was a Quote Unquote Government Generated." So. The U.S. is continuing its recovery after being hit hard by the winter storm Uri last week. The heavy snowfall seen across much of the country and the state of Texas, suffering power outages, rolling blackouts, and damage to its water infrastructure as far south of Houston. So one of the stranger responses to the disaster was the spread of viral conspiracy theory videos on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, claiming that severe snow was actually fake and the government generated as part of a sinister plot instigated by shadowy elites, presumably intentionally plunging Texas into its present state of chaos. This goes out to our government and Bill Gates. Of course, Bill Gates is behind it.
Well, of course he is.
Thank you, Bill Gates, for trying to trick us that this is real snow, a woman says in one video as she holds a cigarette lighter to a snowball over her bathroom basin. You'll see it's not melting and it's going to burn. Snow don't burn. Snow effing melts. No water, no dripping, no nothing. If I put this blank in the microwave, it's going to start sparkling because there's metal mixed in it. In another clip, a girl gathers a snowball from her lawn and holds it over a tea light candle, observing the same phenomenon that it doesn't appear to melt, but it's charred black by the flame. A number of the other videos have cropped up under the same platforms with titles like Need Some Explaining and Anyone Played with a Government Generated Snow Yet. So I only have one thing to say about that. And
you sound insane. Do you realize that?
I don't know where they're getting that from, but I don't know why Bill Gates, you would think with all of his businesses that he wouldn't have time to put microchips in the vaccine for COVID or generate fake snow for whatever reasons to pick on Texas. But apparently he does, according to these folks. So I don't know. Just ridiculous.
Maybe he just wants to mess with Texas.
Well, everybody, you should know that you can't. You can't mess with Texas.
They have bumper stickers and everything.
I know, and I believe everything I read on a bumper sticker.
Of course.
All right. You got another one for us?
I should do have one about snow.
All
right. New Jersey man sets fire to his lawn to get rid of snow and ice, cops say. If you encounter a particularly rough patch of, and this is a warning for next time that it snows here. So
yeah.
If you encounter a particularly rough patch of ice or snow while shoveling this winter, or 10 winters from now, don't reach for a can of gasoline like a Midland Park man did this past Friday, police say. Police and firefighters responded to the man's home on Patterson Avenue, where he had set a small fire to try to melt the snow and ice. Once the fire department arrived, they called in the Bergen County Hazmat Unit, who had to use Speedy Dry to sop up the gas. The man, whom police would not name, had poured about a half gallon of gasoline on a gravelly 2-foot by 2-foot square section of his backyard. He thought a good idea would be to dump some gasoline and light it on fire. Police Lieutenant John Gibson told New Jersey Advance Media, a neighbor called the police after smelling something burning around 7:35 p.m. I don't recall ever being dispatched to something like that, Gibson said. It's not very common, let's put it that way. There you go.
Oh, boy. Well, good thing it wasn't that government-generated snow, or else you'd have a real big problem.
Wouldn't even work. This is in New Jersey. That was real snow.
Yeah, that was real snow in New Jersey. All right, well, real quick before we get out of here, I have one. I'll just call this the fail of the week. And the headline is, a man called his ex a moron by text while storming the Capitol, and guess what happened? She turned him in. So if you're going to be a dum-dum like this guy and do something stupid like storm the federal Capitol building, maybe if you're going to text somebody, you don't text your ex-girlfriend and tell her she's a moron. So,
and then insult her?
Right. So I don't know what he thought was going to happen, but for him. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend. And until then, we'll just play Gloria.
For more Something to Say Radio Show content, go to somethingtosayradioshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at S2S Radio Show. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/somethingtosayradio.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care.